The Chilkat Chinook forecast is the lowest in 25 years. And Southeast legislators hope to maintain fish and game funding. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. The forecast for adult king salmon returning to the Chilkat River near Haines is the lowest in 25 years. It follows a historically low Chinook run last year.
There's not going to be any gear groups blamed. There's not going to be any fisheries blamed.
Brian Elliott is a Chinook stock assessment biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Haines. He gave a lengthy presentation about what is going on with king salmon at last week's meeting of the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee. There's something happening to king salmon in southeast Alaska. Locally, Chilkat Chinook are facing about a 10-year downward trend. In 2016, the escapement estimate was 1,368 large Chinook. That's fish older than 5 years. That was the lowest estimate since 1991. Looking ahead to 2017, Elliott says there's more bad news. The forecast is 634 large fish in river. That's the lowest prediction in over 25 years. It's not just the Chilkats that have a low forecast. Elliott says it's a trend around southeast.
Every system except for Stikine has below goal forecasts. So that pretty much means that we need to minimize harvest as much as we can to get these stocks back on their spawning gravels.
He presented the information to the Lynn Canal Advisory Committee, along with information about how they create estimates and what factors could be contributing to the problem. He says it's not as easy as just pointing to one fishery.
There are several factors going on at once that are affecting Chilkat stock and others. So it's really just trying to identify the problems that we can fix.
One important factor Elliott looks at is marine survival. That is, how many smolts are surviving to be mature, returning adults.
There's got to be something in the marine that's causing them to get out of there and mature early, like a hostile environment. Either they're not finding prey species, they're trying to avoid mortality from predators and other sources out there, so they're coming back early.
So even if no fish are being caught, Elliott says something is happening to Chilkat Chinook.
In the absence of fishing, we're still not roses and rainbows in the Chilkat.
But they are looking at the impact fisheries have too. For instance, they're looking at spring trolling. That's a newer fishery that generally targets hatchery-produced fish and occurs when adult king salmon are returning. Still, Elliott says they're not placing blame on that one fishery.
It's the timing, it's the coincidence of it. In fact, you know, we've seen some spring troll harvest through the time series, but in the last few years there hasn't been very much at all. So that's once again, if you're looking at a calendar year exploitation rate of 4% on the Chilkats, you can easily say that fisheries are not the issue.
Jim Moore from the Alaska Trollers Association attended the meeting and cautioned against being too hard on the trollers.
Trollers have taken huge cuts for conservation. So have a heart.
Mark Soggy is a Haines area management biologist with Fish and Game. He brought up a few management strategies that could be used to conserve fish.
We're looking at a bunch of different things. I mean, we've already been restrictive the last several years, much more restrictive than the Chilkat Chinook Management Plan calls for.
Soggy said the local subsistence fishery could see restrictions.
So as far as subsistence fishery, we are not going to open up Chilkat Inlet to some fishing before the 50th of July. It doesn't make any sense.
Rich Chapel, the area sport fish biologist for Fish and Game, also mentioned some possible strategies.
Like 2015 and 2016, we'll probably keep Chilkat Inlet closed to sport fishing again this year. We're thinking of closing a wider area.
Elliott says researchers and managers met last week to review where they might be able to cut back on harvests, but he says it's clear they're not the only ones interested.
This is not just a few biologists going forward saying, hey, we need to do something about this. There's a large amount of public interest and caring about it. I mean, these are precious fish. This is a precious resource, and we should treat it as such.
Fish and Game hopes to establish a plan for how to cope with the record low forecast in the next few months. An Excursion Inlet homicide case is scheduled to be heard by a jury in 4 months, but the defense says it doesn't have the evidence it needs to go to trial. Mark Anthony DeSimone is accused of shooting 34-year-old Dulio Antonio Rosales twice in the back of the head in May 2016. DeSimone appeared in Juneau Superior Court last week, now 54 years old with his hair grown out and grayer than in earlier appearances. DeSimone's attorney, public defender Tim Ayer, seemed frustrated about delays in getting processed evidence from the state crime lab as part of the pretrial discovery process. Assistant District Attorney Amy Page says her office just received a report on fingerprint analysis, but not the laboratory analyst notes and data. The backlogged lab is likely still working on DNA analysis. Page also indicated that an Alaska State Trooper who investigated the homicide was recently reassigned to another post in South Central Alaska, complicating the handover of investigative notes and other potential evidence. The trial is scheduled for May 15th with a pretrial hearing a week earlier. DeSimone, a former Arizona lawmaker, faces 2 counts of second-degree murder and 1 count each of first-degree murder, manslaughter, and criminally negligent homicide. Governor Bill Walker proposed cutting about 45 positions and $3.5 million from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's fiscal year 2018 budget in December. That's significantly smaller than the $11.5 million in cuts over the past 2 years. But Southeast lawmakers say the department can't sustain any additional reductions. KSDK's Aaron Bolton reports.
Lawmakers are back in Juneau to tackle the state's $3.5 billion budget gap, and with it, Fish and Game's state allocations for the fiscal year. The department has taken significant cuts, about 36% to its dedicated state funding over the past 2 years. The Commercial Fisheries Division is the most dependent on state funding, but wouldn't change any Southeast operations if Walker's proposal makes it through the budgeting process as is. Several Southeast lawmakers say that's their plan for the session. House District 36 Representative Dan Ortez, who sits on the House Finance and Fish and Game Finance subcommittees, says the department's ability to do its job will diminish with any further cuts. He wants to keep funding flat.
I'm just not comfortable with further cuts from that particular agency, so I'm going to be working hard to try to maintain that funding level. So I guess in that sense, the governor's budget and my goals might be a little bit different.
Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins, who represents House District 35, says he supports a proposal that would restructure commercial fisheries entry commission fees. He says the proposal would have larger boats paying more.
I think longer than 70 feet, but if you're more than that length and you're actively prosecuting a fishery, i.e. you're not a tender, you're kind of getting an easy pass on these CFPC fees. And the idea is to sort of proportionalize those fees so that everyone is paying their fair share in a proportional way.
Commercial Fisheries Director Scott Kelly has said Southeast operations can be sustained under Walker's plan, but fears that further cuts may change that. The division stopped collecting data in 2015 for several Southeast herring fisheries that haven't opened in recent years. Herring fisheries near Craig and Sitka are still being managed. Kelly also says aerial surveys have been reduced along with several other data collection projects. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman noted that any cuts made to the department may have a direct impact on Southeast's economy.
We need to be careful with our reductions that we don't adversely shut down our core industries. Fish and Game, of course, is fisheries, and DNR is oil and gas. Fish and Game and DNR are not the reason why we're financially underwater. And if you look at the scheme of their expenditures ranked against the other departments, you could eliminate them and you wouldn't fix the budget problem.
Fish and Game, Sport Fishing, and Wildlife Conservation divisions don't expect any major changes during the next fiscal year. Both divisions are primarily funded through national taxes on fishing and hunting gear. Recent hunting and fishing license fee increases are also expected to help fund operations. Net sales for tags and licenses were at about $29.5 million in 2015. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.